Macintosh Folklore Radio, written by Andy Hertzfeld and Company, and read by Derek Warren. Price Fight, October 1983. The Macintosh was originally supposed to be a very low-cost, high-volume personal computer. We wanted to keep the price as low as possible so the Mac would be affordable to ordinary individuals, enabling Apple to sell Macintoshes by the millions. The initial target price was $500, then less than half the price of an Apple II. But the price quickly rose to $1,000 after the design team added up the cost of various components. In early 1981, after switching from the 6809 to the more expensive 68000 microprocessor and doubling our RAM to 128 kilobytes, it became clear that we had to raise the retail price to $1,500 in order for Apple to make its standard profit margin. $1,500 was approximately the original price of the Apple II, and it seemed that was about as high as we could go while still being affordable to individuals. We worked hard to keep the price from rising further and were able to hold it at $1,500 for most of the time the product was under development. Pricing a brand new computer is tricky because costs are highly dependent on volume. The more units of a component that you're willing to order, the lower the price per unit. But how can you predict how well a new type of computer will sell? It was literally a confidence game, and we had no shortage of that. Steve Jobs knew that we were going to sell Macintoshes by the millions, and he was successful in convincing our suppliers to share some of the risk with us via lower initial prices, to be rewarded as volumes soared in the years ahead. For example, Steve was able to get Motorola to commit to a price of $9 for the 68000 microprocessor, less than a quarter of what they were quoting at the time. By the summer of 1983, it became clear that the disk division's Twiggy floppy disk technology wasn't going to survive, and that if we weren't careful, it would take down the whole Macintosh project with it. We had to scurry, but we were able to replace Twiggy with the Sony 3.5-inch drive without slipping the schedule. The new drive was better in every way than the Twiggy, except one. It cost us about an extra $50 per machine. When combined with a few other splurges, it pushed us over the top, and we grudgingly accepted that the Macintosh would have to debut for $1,995. Meanwhile, Apple hired a new CEO, John Sculley, in April of 1983. John was the former CEO of Pepsi and a world-class marketing whiz, having invented the concept of the Pepsi generation and other successful promotions. He was hired by Apple mainly to apply his marketing skills to the personal computer market, and in particular, the Macintosh. But big-time marketing costs big-time money. In October 1983, plans for the Macintosh launch were being finalized, and we were frantically trying to finish the software. Steve Jobs strode into the software area one evening, looking angry. "You're not going to like this," he told us. "But Sculley is insisting that we charge $24.95 for the Mac instead of $19.95 and use the extra money for a bigger marketing budget. He figures that the early adopters will buy it no matter what the price. He also wants more of a cushion to protect Apple II sales. But don't worry, I'm not going to let him get away with it." The design team was horrified. One of the main reasons that we were so passionate about the Macintosh was that we thought we were working on something that we would use ourselves, along with our friends and relatives. It was crucial that it be affordable to ordinary people. $2,500 felt like a betrayal of everything that we were trying to accomplish. We worked very hard to keep the price down in every aspect of the design, and now it was being artificially inflated for reasons that didn't make sense to us. But we thought that Steve would prevail and be able to convince John that we would be more successful at the lower price. But much to our surprise and dismay, after about a week of wrangling, Steve was the one who gave in, and the Mac was priced at $2,495 at launch. Even though it sold quickly at first, sales soon bogged down, partially due to the lack of available software, but also because of the price. Even after sales picked up in 1986 with the Mac Plus and the proliferation of desktop publishing, Apple continued to overcharge for the Macintosh. Apple's preference for huge profit margins over growing their market share eventually led to big problems when it caught up with them in the 1990s.